Hello everyone, this is Sylvia McAvery and welcome to Spirits Work, the metaphysical and paranormal information show with a difference. A show designed to stretch our minds and help us to think outside of the box. And it's all about sharing interdimensional communication that will help us to understand the nature of our existence as human beings and, of course, as spirit beings. Because after all, this is what we are. Spirit beings having a human experience. And we'd like to say that we don't follow any religious beliefs or concepts, but believe in everyone's right to have their own way of thinking. And on today's show, we are going to talk about how it is that we not only need to heal the earth, but also certain physical places and energies that have become trapped, where there may be an actual spirit tied to a particular place and be in distress, or have how negative areas can be recognized and cleansed from our side of life.
Hello, I'm Mick Avery. Sylvia and I are mediums, healers and authors, and I'd just like to mention we have 4 books that are full of groundbreaking information, and they are out on general release. They are The Spirit Within, Spirit Walks with Gregory, The Soul Group, Its Meaning, Magic and Imagery, and Journeys of the Inner Songbird. They can be found on our website too at www.spirit-teaching.com or on amazon.com or from any good bookstore. They are educational, life-affirming and life-altering for people to significantly form a more advanced and self-aware approach to the world we live in, and are transcripts of our work with the spirit guide, Gregory Hay, who will be appearing on this program. They also go into fine detail about life in the spirit world and why we are here at all. Now, as well as Spirit's Work, on Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blogging Service, we have another radio show called The Spirit Teaching Radio Show, and that's every Tuesday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on artistfirst.com. Now, I am a deep trance medium, and each week I channel Gregory Hay, who had an earth life 300 years ago, live on the show. I have the ability to completely hand over my body to the spirit world so they may use it to speak through, and I know absolutely nothing about what has happened during this time. I go into the deep trance state, which is a little like going to sleep, and from that, I know absolutely nothing of what happens until I come back. I have an out-of-body experience every time, and more often than not, I don't know where my spirit friends have taken me, although I might sometimes remember it. To me, it's just like I've gone to sleep for a few minutes, and it can be even 2 hours or more. I developed this rare gift over many years, actually by arrangement with the spirit world, and I actually formed this arrangement with Gregory before I came to the earth to have this physical experience. And this is what I do on the show. I bring Gregory through to speak to you and Sylvie, and he discusses a different topic each week. That's all I have to say, really. I'm just going to go off and do that now.
Okay, you get yourself ready. Yeah, because Mick has to compose himself slightly before he goes off. He has a drink of water, and he just subdues his mind as best he can to empty his thoughts so that the transition is nice and quick. When Gregory takes over, you'll hear his breathing change. When Gregory takes over the control of his breathing, and then, I'll tell you a little bit about Gregory. He's a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group, who consists of scientific minds of all descriptions, eminent scientists, physicists, philosophers, scholars of all description, and ordinary people. And between them, they have immense knowledge and insight. They've come here because there is a need for us to understand the nature of our existence here and in the spirit world, and then hopefully they can point us in a more positive direction by helping us to think beyond the constraint of our human minds. And I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us. You're about to listen to spirit guide Gregory Hay being channeled by deep trance medium Mick Avery, and I'm Sylvie Avery. Welcome. So I think Gregory's with us now.
Hello, Faith.
Hello, Gregory. How are you today?
Hello, dear Faith. I am very well, as always. It is with absolute love, of course, that we are here, the many thousands who are assembled at this present time to take part in this short interview, this little tryst with the spirit world. We are so pleasured and honored, as always, to be in your kind vibration, little bird, and also to be able to bring this information to the surface of your world, the physical world.
Well, we're absolutely thrilled. And so today's subjects, I don't think that we quite understand or appreciate the impact that certain events of physical life have upon our Earth, do we?
Quite so, exactly. Even the smallest event that you take part in, that you may be a party to, it not only affects you yourselves as a physical being, but also as a spirit, of course, it will affect you, because whatever happens to you in the physical state will also have a ramification upon your spirit. Even thinking about whether or not you are aware of your spirit or not, you may well not be. You could be just an ordinary person who goes about their daily life, and perhaps you do not really necessarily understand the differences that your attitudes to situations bring upon you, or how you affect others, possibly with your anger or with the way in which you react to certain events around you. And each situation that brings about upon your life leaves, or can leave a mark upon the physical structure of the earth upon which you are standing or sitting. This can also apply, of course, if you are doing something not just for yourself, but also toward another human being or another life, whatever that life may be. Now, you can walk across the countryside, and perhaps at one point, if you are sensitive to do so, you may pick up the feeling or the vibration of some situation that may have occurred prior to you being there. It simply means that you may have either crossed a residual energy which is left within the soil of the place that you walk upon, or perhaps can be tied to a particular tree even, or plant of any description. So you see, what your physical actions can do is they leave the residual energies upon the surface. And even if the plant, shall we say, dies away in the winter and then regrows again in the spring, these energies can still be left upon them. And some may be sensitive enough to pick these up.
Some people, you mean?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Now, it may well be, of course, that many animals also pick these sensitivities because they are more immune, perhaps, than you are. And so it is a little as though they are wandering around their environment and they are picking up these energies of human behavior, these situations of interaction between people or between people and animals. After all, there is very little difference. You are animals too, in the basic biology of it. So, my dears, what these animals may well pick up upon is that through these sensitivities they have, they will feel possibly a spirit presence if it has been a situation that has meant the actual taking of physical life, no matter what that is. It is partly how animals actually find food sources. For example, if a mole actually finds a good catch of worms in a particular place, because the soil is particularly nourishing to them, then what will happen is that they will pick these feelings up through their sensitivity, not just in a physical way, not just something that is to do with pheromonic activity, you understand, but they are actually using their spirit to identify situations of past activity within the soil. And so what they are finding is that, yes, this is a good place to look for food. You see?
So like the vibration and the harmony is good there. So
well,
they feel comfortable and...
What I am saying is that they understand that there has been a particular thing that has occurred. As I am saying, if it is in the case of worms that are hunting for... moles that are hunting for worms, then it simply means that this is a particularly good place because they can pick up the vibration of the anticipation of the previous moles that have been there. And also,
oh, I see.
Of course, the actual way in which that excitement was transferred upon the creatures they were looking for.
I see.
And in just the same way, you see, it is really just an example of how a spirit residue can be left and how other beings can interact with that. Now, in another way and format, you could say then that what of human beings and their interaction with animals? For example, that it may be a place of mass culling. It may be a place where situations have occurred between human beings and animals that have left animals terrified before their passing. In which case, what will occur is that their spirit may well continue to be there. It may well be that they are drawn there because of the residual impact upon the actual earth on your side of life. Not just because that they physically passed, but because of their actual fear that they felt before that occurred. And sometimes this is what can actually tie the spirit to a particular place. So you can well see then, perhaps, that just through this single act, not of kindness, but of violence, extreme violence, by one being upon another, that it is possibly going to be a situation of healing. Now, will it be then that other animals of the same type will actually feel that situation as well? They may well do. They may react to it. Horses are particularly sensitive to these kinds of energies. But I will go to that in a moment. So what of then if animals themselves come upon places where other animals have interacted with them? For example, the plains of the Serengeti or something like that, which has been where there are vast herds of antelope or wildebeest or whatever they are, and they are constantly being watched by prides of lions who are on the search of food. The point is to make at the beginning of this scenario is that, of course, yes, lions are carnivores, and that perhaps many people, many human beings see that what they do is actually something of a gross interest from the human point of view. Because it is something that is not only violent, but that is, it reflects a savagery beyond human understanding.
Yes, it's awful to watch.
Yes, I understand. And I suppose you could say, upon one hand, how could any essence of what you understand God to be allow such a thing to carry on?
Mm-hmm.
How can it be that this one herd can continue to live in the same place with all of this violence, and yet they seem to remain content and happy, even at these situations? They run around for a while the chase is on, and they, all of those, try to keep out of the way who are young and healthy enough, or who are just completely lucky at that point. It is to say that I know these are very difficult questions for human beings to bring upon their minds. This is the way that the natural world, your natural environment, actually works and reacts with one thing, one species, and another species. It isn't to say that lions particularly are lesser beings, or that tigers are, or that any other creature that serves to catch and eat its prey as a matter of instinct, that who can say that you, as your judgment, would make a better fist of it if you too did not have any tools with which to do the job for you? If you had to just use your bare hands and your teeth in order to take the life of some other being, in order to eat it, how would you go about it?
And we still do it anyway, but we don't do it because we absolutely need to. We do it because we like the flavour a lot
of
the time.
Yes, quite so.
It's not a necessity, is it?
It is not. That is quite true. It is not a necessity to humanity. And of course, as I have said before many times, if a human being really wishes to reach enlightenment within their life of physical form, then they will not eat meat. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So, getting to my point, how is it then that this herd will continue to move, will continue to be content within the event horizon that they may face one day, when they too will become susceptible to the lion or the tiger or whatever it is? It is quite simply that these animals continue within that space because they do understand to a certain extent that what is occurring is that they are ensuring that their genetic strain remains at the peak of its level and ability. Of course, they would wish that their lives were not beset by lions or cheetahs or whatever it was that was standing guard over them. Yet, uppermost within their minds remains that they are nurturing their young, that they are actually helping the herd to survive by staying in the group that they are, and also that they are able to continue their search for food and a bit. Their sensitivity over the situations faced by the single few that are singled out every now and then for food for these carnivores is not something that is predominant in their minds. You do not understand this, perhaps, because you see this as an observer, and what you do is pass judgment upon it. But if you were actually a wildebeest yourself, their minds are not as separated into patterns of thought, into ability and change, and the perception of what they see as something that is harmonic, and what they identify as something harmonic in their life, because they are different than you. It does not mean to say that they do not communicate with one another, or that they do not actually share certain responsibilities and harmonies within the herd. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So what of the actual residue then of these barbaric acts as they come about? These residues, yes, they are left within the soil. They are there which remind perhaps these other animals of the place of where they are, but they do not have a dramatic effect upon them because they are not that sensitive. Zebra, on the other hand, are more sensitive and are far more acutely aware. They wish that the lions were not there, but they cannot do anything about that particular problem because they have the same sensitivity as horses. So you may look then at perhaps where Native American people once drove herds of bison to a particular place of their passing so that they could eat well for the winter or something like that. These places, if you walk to them, will also give you the feelings of the panic and the passing that these animals undertook. And you will actually register these feelings upon your being. Now, my dears, there are things that you can do when you encounter these feelings, if it is to do with animals. You would perhaps have water from a stream or something like that in a bottle, and it would be a good idea for you to say a prayer for that place, or an invocation, to say something that is meaningful, that you, as a human being, wish to atone for those ills of others that have driven so many to the destruction of this place. And at the same time as you're doing this, you would perhaps sprinkle some of the water around you in a circular motion, usually clockwise or anti-clockwise. It really doesn't matter too much. It depends, however, upon the event. If it is something of a really barbaric nature toward innocent animals that actually did not expect such a situation to occur, perhaps something of real brutality, and I am not saying that one is worse than the other on the surface, but underneath it, one can be. It is all of one thing to drive an animal to its passing in order to eat it. It is quite another for you to abuse an animal just for your enjoyment. And in that situation, the situation of enjoyment of a human being over an animal, it means that you have to do this in an anti-clockwise situation. Because what you are doing is you are asking the spirit world to turn back the energy. To turn back the energy as you actually turn round in an anti-clockwise situation. You are saying at the same time that I, as a physical being, wish to atone for those actions of some other physical being who brought this in affliction about to whoever the spirit is that you feel is present.
And can you walk around the site?
Oh, absolutely so. Of course. It is perhaps a good idea to actually experience the perimeter of what actually took place.
Yeah.
So this is saying that in the situation of a natural occurrence, and I'm not saying that Native American Indian peoples were barbaric or that they did not know what they were doing. Simply, there was a hunger that existed within their different tribes and that they had to fulfill it, and that was their need. They took only what they needed. They did not overproduce this effect upon the planet's surface. They meant no disharm or disrespect when they were bringing this state of affairs to the planet, because what they saw and identified with, and what they still see and identify with, is that they have hunger, so they need to be filled. And that is a matter of survival. Now, shall we say then, for example, in the case of abuse of a human being over an animal or over many animals, then to begin with, what you may feel and sense about you is that you will come into contact with these spirit beings of the animals that have been actually caused this suffering and this pain. How they will present themselves will be a matter of effect of that particular time. And I'm not ruling out here that this only applies to animals, but this is the one that we are talking about at this present moment. So what you will see is perhaps nothing. What you will feel, however, is a heaviness, a certain weariness about the actual soil or the place on which you are walking.
And sometimes you can feel sick.
Oh, absolutely so, yes. And you may well vomit at the time, yes. Quite so. It can be that strong. They are dystoic energies. That is what we call them. And what happens is that because they are so fractionated by the event, that they cannot move on. And they need help. They actually need physical help from someone on your side of life. Perhaps this help is in the form of bringing atonement for the ancestry that caused it, that caused the suffering. Now, if it is over a large site, it may well be difficult for one person to resolve on their own. They may well need help from others. It may be a situation where at least 5 or 10 people may have to become involved in order to not clear the place, but to bring about resolution to those spirits who have been so harmed in their physical life. They too wish to return to the spirit world in a real state of completion. And so what you would have to do in this case, as I said, you would have to say a prayer or an invocation as you walk around the perimeter. If it is a very large place, then you will have to split it up into squares or rectangles that you can gradually take in each area at a time. Now, I can appreciate that this may take quite a long time to unravel and to treat, because particularly if an area, a specific area, is quite large. Perhaps it may be several acres in the measurement on your side of life.
Mm-hmm.
So what we see then, dear Ben, is that you begin in the center of one place, one area that you wish to treat. And if, as I said, if it is a lot of a large area that you have to treat, then you will need several of you. 5 is best, actually. And what you will have is one person standing in the center and one at each corner. Each of you will have a small flask of water. Water which, incidentally, you have already blessed. And also, if you are preparing to do such a thing, in blessing the water before you begin, you will also ask the spirit world to protect you, to keep you safe at this time, to protect you from the negative energies, but also to make you aware of them and how they are feeling by your presence. It may well be that you will have to recite these thoughts occasionally during the process of clearing, because these energies can actually become quite frantic while you are present. Do not forget, their last interpretation of activity of human beings toward them has been something that has caused them great grief and has brought their demise in an ugly way, in a way that was frightening to them. As I say, horses are particularly sensitive to such situations.
So you need to be protected enough so that you don't pick it up physically, physiologically.
Yes, so that it does not make you ill.
Ill, but just be still, be sensitive enough and open enough to sense where these energies are.
Yes, quite so.
Be aware.
Yes, it may be that during this time that you do not only pick up one particular species, but you may possibly pick up others, goats or cattle or whatever it is. You see, it depends entirely upon what happens in that particular place. And then what you will do, as I say, is that you will walk around in this anti-clockwise situation. Each of you will walk to the other's position in the four corners. And in this way, you will also, while you are walking, sprinkle a little of your water, your blessed water, upon the ground as you go. And in doing this purposeful walk, with the purity that you wish to bring upon the physical earth, you are also perhaps mindful that you are saying to the spirit of these animals that you wish for the forgiveness of all of those ancestors of human state who have caused this fear and this harm to your being, that you wish for atonement of these people and their actions, and that you wish their spirit to have healing from the rest of the spirit world. As you do this, you will feel a release. You will feel it tangible, a physical evidence of how your prayers and your thoughts and your healing energy is becoming surrounding those spirits of the animals you are trying to help. As you do this, you will feel a sense of upliftment, of understanding. As I say, this may take some time. You must be patient. In every situation, you must be patient. Do not think that you are going to go in there and just banish them. That will do you no good, and it will certainly do the spirit who is present any good at all. For they will not feel that they have been verified by your genetic ancestry.
So it might take more than one go?
It may well take more than one visit. Yes, dear friend. And as I say, in the case of a large place, you need to split it up into sections that you can quite easily cope with one at a time. And then you will do the same thing, repeating every situation in every rectangle that you have brought about, you see?
Yes,
every
yes.
Perimeter that you walk around. When you first begin it, you will walk around the perimeter of the place, of this rectangle that you have set out, and then you will at the same time sprinkle the water and say your prayers. Ask for healing to be given to that place, to the spirit of those who live there, who are contained there by the physical actions upon them.
So when the spirits, let's say that we're talking about horses in particular.
Yes.
So when the spirits of those horses have been released.
Yes.
And they are at peace now.
Yes.
And what about, is there any other residual energy left in the soil of the property, the place, the field, or wherever it is?
There may be a little, just really as a marker of the event.
Mm, like a scar.
But it will not be something that will actually hold the spirit of those beings there.
No.
Do you understand?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, it makes you wonder about, when people go hunting, and it's usually beautiful situations.
Yes.
That animals, you know, that wild animals live.
Yes, Ben.
And we always assume these places of beauty and tranquility and harmony. And so then does that leave little isolated spots of negativity and trapped spirits everywhere dotted around the landscape?
Well, shall we say then, what about someone who hunts for food? Is that something that is a crime against all other animals? I know it is a very difficult thing to tackle in the human mind, because as a civilized country or as a civilized society, what you wish to do is try to step beyond what you see as savagery in the natural world. And that is how you decree what is your civilized, your moral ability and your moral action toward one another. You would then, I feel, you would then look about how different human beings react to one another, and you regard different states of situations that you bring about upon one another as whether they are significant to being civilized or whether they are significant to being natural, predatory, and barbaric, as you see in the natural world. So, if a person is genuinely looking for food and needs food, needs to acquire food for their continued living, then that is something that is a natural situation, is it not? It does not mean to say that the spirit world wish you to carry on doing it, because clearly you do not necessarily need to do that. There are abundant supplies of good food that you do not have to actually do this for. So what are you saying that you are doing? You are doing this for enjoyment? If that is your enjoyment, then that is your frame of mind that you wish to perceive of yourself as being capable of doing it, and also of having some form of, I don't know.
Thrill.
Thrill, yes, thank you very much. Thrill is a very good word.
Mm.
Yes, thrill for having done it. Who can say that this action, this feeling that you have for having brought it about, is, although it is personal to you, it is abhorrent to others who look at it or who understand what is going on. Are they any less worthy than you are for being the hunter? Is it not true to say that all you are really doing is reenacting your caveman days?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
The times when human beings themselves had nothing else but to search for food and take it as they saw it. Set traps or whatever that was in order for them to survive. And I completely understand. But to bring yourself backward into that state of mind, surely, is walking backward to the genetic hierarchy or the possibility of what your future understanding may become.
Mm.
Because what you are doing is you are wallowing in the shallow energy of ego and of self-estimation, that you would wish to do something that is selfish of yourself that you actually do not need to do. Wouldn't it be better to take a camera rather than a gun?
That's a nice thought. I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery, and I'm Sylvie Avery. Welcome. So what about these areas then, Gregory, of human catastrophes?
Yes.
War zones, battlefields.
Yes.
And that sort of thing.
Yes, well, once again then, dear friends, there are many situations in that field of events where you may identify the entrapment of many different desperate souls. This tends to happen because situations of violence like that and the camaraderie that existed between the individuals who took part, the people that took part, is something that holds them all in one place. Perhaps it is that they were all buried there. It could be that it had become a mass graveyard for those people who took part in it. Exactly the same notion then has to be brought about for them, that you would send healing thoughts, that you would actually be aware of the place itself, of what took place. Not necessarily that you have to experience the violence, my dears. I'm not saying that. But you have to be aware of how these different people may possibly be still present. It may be, of course, that if they have had many loved ones on your side of life still remaining after their passing, that they are quite happy where they are and they may not need your help. It isn't to say that all beings who have been in a battle, whatever that was, are going to be corrupted and stay at a particular place because the residual energy is holding them there. I'm not saying that. Many occasions there will be situations when the actual state of the relationship between loved ones and those who have passed, no matter whether they were taken in a field hundreds or thousands of miles away from where their family originate or where their genetic ancestry are from, it may well be that that has been the case. And it does not mean, of course, that that spirit will always remain at that place, but it may be a place of revisiting for the camaraderie, for the actual relationship that each of those people who took part in the event felt between each other.
Mm.
You see, very often these become bonds of love that are bonds of courage, and these are binding to one another. It may be that, for example, that the people who took part in it have never experienced such a bond outside of that situation. And so they feel that they wish to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
So there can be many reasons. Some may well be quite happy to be there.
Yeah, sure. But what do we do about the ones that we feel these awful feelings about when we encounter them? Same as with the animals.
Yes, exactly the same as with the animals, dear friend. There may well be, of course, a time when you would actually sit in contemplation of that place, not addressing the fear, perhaps, that took place there, but just in contemplation of who had passed there. And perhaps opening yourself in a very careful way once again, you would say that you would ask for protection, for healing of the place, but also healing of the individuals, and that if any of them wish to make themselves known, then this was a good time to do it. You cannot, as I say, just banish these things. They will not go willingly. And there will be those who will think, oh yes, I just went and cleared that place and everything is quite fine now. Thank you very much. I just told them to go away. That will not settle anything. It will actually dupe the mind of the person who has done that. And they will have not resolved one speck of difference between the situation before they before they came to that place and after they had left it.
So, can you do the similar thing with walking the area? I'm thinking
as
well.
Yes, of course. Yes.
I'm thinking as well of all these disasters that are happening at the moment.
Yes.
You know, the weather.
Through natural
different natural causes.
Yes.
Not only, because there's animals, I mean, we talk about people, obviously, first, but there's also a lot of animals that have gone as well.
Yes, Ben.
There's so many areas that need this sort of thing, so it's good for people to know maybe a few different ways of being able to do it, because obviously they might not know enough people to get a group together.
No, quite so. I understand that. But in that case, just one individual can come upon a place and say exactly the same things that I have already stated. I don't want to keep on repeating myself.
No.
But to say exactly the same things, the same words, the invocation or prayer of protection, first of all, for self, and then of wishing to bring healing to those who have been affected by such a place. This is something that happens in prayer regardless of whatever religious understanding you may have. You may not have any religious understanding. It does not mean to say that you cannot say a prayer. Send your thoughts to the spirit world, to those who have been affected by it. Not just to the relatives who have passed in that place, at that time, in that event, but also to the relatives of those who are still remaining, to wish them well, to wish them understanding and peace in their lives.
So you can do it from home. You can do it from wherever you are.
Indeed, so.
Focusing on the area.
Yes, of course. Using your mind to focus upon a specific area. Perhaps even you could have a picture of the place or have even a map of the place, and you would just sensitively place your hand upon it. And at the same time, ask for connection with it, you see.
Mm.
And in this way, you will perhaps be able to identify certain situations that have come about.
Because presumably...
It is a form of psychometry.
Yes. Presumably, these places where these people are experiencing these disasters, if they're going to continue living there, these negative energies are only going to make a bad situation worse.
Well, yes, quite so, because these are not only the people who are still living and their memories of the event, or their memories of their loved ones who passed in it, but it is also that they are feeding from the actual sense, if you like, of those who have passed.
Yes.
And their loss and their grief at not actually having been able to come full circle, if you like, in their life event.
Mm.
You see, many people perhaps do not fully realize that when you return to the spirit world, you will not perhaps necessarily have returned willingly. It may well be that you were run over by a bus or by a coach and four horses like I was, or that you met your passing in some other way and that you have regret. It is something that has to be overcome, an energy that has to be separated and placed into the past of physical understanding, even if you are a spirit, you see. And so what occurs is that you bring this understanding to self so that you can move beyond it, so that you can begin to understand the creation of what is in front of you, of your life now in the spirit world. And this is actually how it works. Some people need a bridge of positive energy and love coming from the physical world, from someone in the physical world. It does not necessarily have to be their genetic relative. It can be someone completely obscure to their life, or someone who in fact never knew them at all. This is a point of selfless service that human beings can give to one another, whether they are in physical life or in the spirit world.
So what about the reverse in you know, the areas of great harmony and raised vibration said to be sacred places?
Yes.
Are they then places that haven't had humankind soiling the area?
Well, possibly so. It may well be that has been the case. What you have to understand is that a lot of residual energies to do with places, perhaps religious places or centers, are to do with the fact that what you are experiencing is the labor of love that has gone into building it. So perhaps if it is a place of worship of some form, or that where a lot of prayers have been said in that particular place, it will be, dear friends, that these prayers have become the residual energy that remains in it. And so what you are seeing and feeling and sensing is the divine love that has existed there, simply because through generations there have been these overlays of this loving energy. And this itself will have an impact upon the vibrancy of the place. You will perhaps see it as a brighter harmonic as you look upon it.
So that's a good example of how we can maybe heal the other places.
Yes, exactly so. Yes, exactly so.
Yeah. So is there any other areas that we've got a couple of minutes left. Is there any other areas you'd like to cover that we haven't mentioned?
Well, all I would like to say is that I am well aware that there are these repeated excursions that people take into situations and events that have passed. That what they do is that they reflect upon their loving memory of those who have passed, perhaps in a personal situation, a personal tragedy. For example, like the situation when the angry terrorist type people were using other human beings to bring about their fait accompli. And what occurred there was that the massive loss of life and all of those who reflected upon it then and ever since, who have understood what their relatives perhaps have gone through, it is through that their prayers that they send, through the actual feelings of love they send not only to their own relatives who passed away in that place, but also to the others who perhaps were not even thought of in a kind way, or who were forgotten by some. It is well that such a place attracts such loving awareness toward them, because that can only help to heal. the wounds that were created there. And that is just the same in any place or physical state where you come upon someone in need from the spirit world. Even if it is a single individual that has been tied to a particular place because of the action of another, or because possibly they have taken their own life,
yeah,
and cannot walk past it, that person needs love, needs understanding. It may be they need to be walked through their past and what they achieved, and to take them back perhaps to a place of love and awareness they felt themselves in their physical life. In such a state, they too need your help, need your prayers, your love, and forgiveness. Above all, they need forgiveness so that they can forgive those who harmed them and move on.
Well, thank you, Gregory. Once again, it's been so enjoyable.
Thank you, friend.
Till next time.
Good day, and may love always be with you, upon your lips, your mind, the eyes that see, and the journey that beckons you. Good day.
Good day. Well, that was wonderful. So, Nick's going to be coming back now, but I don't think we're going to have time to talk to him. And I'd just like to mention once again our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And you can get our books from our website, and they're available at shops and at bookshops under Amazon.com. And they are The Spirit Within, Spirit Walks with Gregory, The Soul Group, Its Meaning, Magic and Imagery, and Journeys of the Inner Songbird. And we hope you've enjoyed the show, because we're here to join forces in a caring and encouraging way. So until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.